Thank you to the team for your willingness to go and to share the good news of the gospel in the prison. And we continue to thank you for your prayers for them as they've gone. I want to invite you to take these blue Bibles. I want us to read the scripture together this morning. You'll find it on page 1303, 1 John 4, 1-6. And in addition to hearing the word being read, I want you to read it with me as we come to this message, just for a few moments. Just to mention, little Michael got the chicken pox, so we won't be dedicating him today. His parents are with him at home, and he's doing okay, and we're grateful for that, so there won't be a parent-child dedication. So I trust you'll give me a few minutes to just to turn to this word, as the team has already shared the word with us, but we want to look at 1 John 4, 1-6. I think there's a word for us here today. 1 John 4, 1-6, would you read it with me together in unison? Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore, they speak from the world and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We trust the Holy Spirit to teach us the meaning of this word for us today. I want to thank you also for your prayers for our grandson Henry, who is down at Children's Hospital right now. And it was amazing to watch. He's doing better today, but he had to be on oxygen, had to be in intensive care, had to watch this little guy, 4 months old, struggle to breathe, and we were just with him on Thursday most of the day, and saw him again last night. He's doing better. But one of the things that I realized was, as soon as he was in the hospital, what they did was they put him through all kinds of tests just to try to figure out what, in fact, was he struggling with. And so they were able to do a test, and right away they found out it was RSV that had gone into bronchiolitis. I mean, the tests were important to discern what it was that they were dealing with. And we were grateful for the doctors there at CHOP and the technicians and all the work that they did to find out it was RSV. In this scripture today, I want to just for these few moments invite us to think about what are the tests of the Spirit for us in the world we live in. There's so many voices, so many antichrists, as John refers to. And he gives us a simple outline here of how to test those spirits, the spirits of the world. And we've been raising a couple of these questions. Here they are, as John addresses them. Important questions to ask. How honest am I about my sin with others, with God, and with myself? And where do I reside? Where am I living? This is the first part of this letter. And whom do I love? Do I just love the people that love me, or do I actually love my enemy, my neighbor, my brother, who doesn't like me? And last 2 weeks ago, Pastor Chris asked us this question: Who is Jesus, the Anointed One? What does he call me to do? And how do I remain with him? How do I follow him? So today we're going to ask the question, how do we test the spirits? And verse 1 says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. And that word he uses there, dokimazo, is actually a technical word. It's a word that was used when they were trying to test metal and whether it was pure. And so it was like this technical process. It wasn't just sort of an ethereal thought. It was actually something that they were thinking about. Test the spirits. Put them through a process and see if they are really true. And he goes on to say two things that we can know. We're going to jump through this very quickly. First of all, he says, examine what they say. Most importantly, examine what those spirits say about who Jesus is. Examine what those spirits say about who Jesus is. A false spirit, a false prophet, is always wrong about one thing, and that is Jesus. What does a false Jesus look like in our world today? I'll tell you what it looked like back then, but what does it look like today? Well, some would say Jesus wasn't God. He was just a good man, a good teacher, a good example to follow. Or Jesus is someone, some would say, who will bless me and my lifestyle. Some would say Jesus is someone I can control, sort of fit into my box. Someone who will give me a ticket to heaven, and then I can go on living my life the way I want to. Or in this primary election season, Jesus can be a name some speak around evangelical voters to gain votes in an election. Or Jesus can be a name that some make do what they want him to do for them. That's a false Jesus. That's a false spirit. That's a false prophet. A right message or spirit will say that Jesus was fully God and fully human in his birth into this world. John starts off this letter, these words, by laying the groundwork in this beginning. He says, we were with Jesus. Remember chapter 1, Pastor Chris's message? We were with Jesus. We saw him, we felt him, we heard him. We not only saw him die, because John was right there, we not only saw him die, and then we all ran away, but we saw him alive again. He came to us. We saw this Jesus, the real Jesus. And then the Jesus said, would you come and follow me? Would you give up your lives and come and follow me? What does the person, the Spirit, say about Jesus? I'm going to jump ahead here to the second one. Look at what they say about Jesus. And finally, look at how they live, verses 4 to 6. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who's in the world. John says, look beyond just what they say about Jesus, but look at how they live their life, what it produces. Because Jesus was clear, he said, a tree will be recognized by its fruit. What is the fruit that's being produced in their lives? Let me just give you three things, acid tests, I'd like to call them, to apply to any person or spirit to determine the accuracy of his or her teaching about Jesus, the most important one, the Messiah. It's important to know what they say about Jesus, but it's also important how they live. Here are three tests. The first one, what does this person say about Jesus? Jesus asks his disciples, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are Christ, the anointed one. I was having a conversation with a friend this past week who raised this question. That's a question that's asked a lot of us. What about other religions that lead to God? What makes Christianity unique? Why would it be special? And let me give you just two answers that I gave to this brother, this friend. I said to him, first of all the other religions reach for God. All other religions ask you to do things to get you closer to God. Christianity is the only religion where God came and reached for us. Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen the glory of the Father in him. He came, not only did he come and reach for us, he died for us. And he rose from the grave. And so it's following him we find life. But first and foremost, he reached for us. The second thing I say is Christianity is unique because it's the only world religion where the founder is still alive. He died, but he rose again. And he is God in the flesh. That's why it's important what we say about Jesus. When we look at other spirits, what do they say about Jesus? Do they say he is God? Do they say he is the one, he is the way, who reached down to us, and if we trust him, rescue us. Secondly, does this person or spirit lead people into relationship with Christ and his word? The gospel is defined as the good news concerning Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and it leads us to a transformed life. The second acid test, does it really bring about life change? I was in Philadelphia a couple years ago at a hospital waiting in a waiting room for a person who was in surgery. And there were a couple nurses who were nursing students there, and they were eating lunch in the waiting room while I was there, just reading and off in my corner. But I could hear their conversation. One was a little older than the other. One looked like she had started nursing after her kids were raised. So she was saying to the younger one, she said this. She said, you know what? I want my kids to have religion, but I don't want them to get too crazy about it. I want my kids to have religion, but I don't want them to get too crazy about it. Acid test of a false teaching is that it allows you to have a religion without a relationship with Jesus. It invites us into this relationship with Jesus, a relationship with the living God that transforms our lives. And we'll see that next week when Pastor Chris preaches and brings this message to a point. It's about living and following and loving and serving. The third is, does this person or spirit help me to become more like Jesus? Is the character of my life, my way of relating to others in love, more like the world or more like Jesus? Is what I'm hearing and believing able to transform the lives of people and the society around them? Is the fruit of my life the fruit of the Spirit of God? So those are three acid tests. What about Jesus? Does this lead me into relationship with Christ and his word? Does this help me to grow in character like Jesus? Three acid tests to test the spirits. Verse 4, again, little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he is in the world. So how do we test the spirits? Here we go. What do they say about Jesus? Is he God in the flesh who has come down to us to save us and give us life? God is inviting you and me to trust him and follow him on this exciting journey of transformation. And trusting Jesus causes us to be transformed, to live a life, abundant life for his glory, loving him, serving him at home, at school, at work, and in the community. I don't know what you were doing last Saturday night in the middle of the snowstorm, but last Saturday night in the middle of the snowstorm, I had a flashback. To a point in my life where I was struggling big time, trying to test the spirit. Was I going to listen to the Holy Spirit or to a false spirit? In the snowstorm, Lydia and I decided to rent a movie, and we watched the movie Woodlawn. It's a true story of a high school football team in Birmingham, Alabama, and they're struggling with how to get along as black and white in the presence of desegregation that had just taken place in their high school. The year is 1973, and the story is about that team's journey and how a revival breaks out in the team as many of them come to faith in Christ. So that's enough of it. I won't kill the story for you. But at the beginning of the movie, it was the beginning of the movie that stirred my memory. And it takes place in Dallas, Texas, June 1972, at Expo 72. 80,000 people. And the scene is Billy Graham preaching the last night of this gathering, 80,000 people. And it was a candlelight service. And the reason why it struck my memory is I was there. And I remember that message. And it brought back the memory of this candlelighting. I can still remember where I was sitting in that stadium. And the message that Billy Graham had given at that time was an invitation to all of us who had lit candles, all these lit candles, to stand. If you're willing to make Jesus Christ Lord of your life, and if you're willing to take this message, this light, and spread it to the world. Well, the guy that introduced the kids to Christ in Alabama, in Birmingham, he was there too. That's why it's in the movie. But I remember the struggle. I remember the spirit, the false spirit saying to me, Jerry, don't get up. If you do this, You'll ruin your life. I had just graduated from high school. I'd just gotten a job at a bank. I was just ready to embark on this career. And I thought, certainly, if I get up, if I truly embrace Jesus as who he is, as God in the flesh, as the Lord of my life, he's going to make me miserable. He's going to send me off someplace. I'm not going to be able to get this job at the bank after all. There was a false spirit speaking in my mind. But thankfully, greater is he who is in you than is he in the world, because the Holy Spirit spoke louder. It said, reminded me of what Jesus said. If you as a father, if your son asks you for a piece of bread, are you going to give him a stone? You as a father, if your son asks you for a fish, are you going to give him a snake? How much more will your heavenly Father give you his spirit? How much more? And that's all it took. And I remember, because this is a flashback, I remember getting up. No bells or whistles. Nothing. But 45 years later, 43 years later, I'm remembering the testing of the spirit, the struggle with the false spirits that are all around us, and the Word of God, and the Jesus, the Messiah. So my question to you and to me today, are we testing those spirits? Are we testing those spirits? And are we listening to who Jesus is? And are we allowing the greater one who's in us to transform our lives so that we can transform this world? That's the message for us today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We've been inspired today by our worship and by the stories and the testimonies from the week of ministry in Alabama by the team. Thank you for the encouragement that has been to continue to press in, to press on, and to not give up. But Lord, you know the world we're living in. You know how crazy it seems. But Jesus, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you came to bring life and light to this world. So I pray, Holy Spirit, would you fill us again and new and afresh to be the people you called us to be, to go into the world this week and to proclaim the gospel. Help us to test those spirits. But even more, help us to say, greater is he that is in us than he is in the world. For your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.